You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. Now, let's get back to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, this is the bonus round. I'm Foster Brown, and this is hour number three of the Internet Advisor, a special additional hour on this 19th anniversary program. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson are in studio with me, along with Kasten Thomas, ready to answer your questions. If you give us a call right now at 800-859-0957, that's 800-859-0957, we'll get some answers for you. Welcome to hour number three of the Internet Advisor. And this is the hour, by the way, when you get to call in with your questions, and we'll take a crack with our expert crew here of answering those questions. And by the way, we have some extra help in here with Kasten Thomas, our cybersecurity expert, who is here to pitch in and help answer some questions as well.
Well, it's a great time to ask security-related questions because Kasten's here. And for everybody that wanted to ask an Apple question or a Mac question, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, Cal's in studio, so ask away.
Yep, exactly. By the way, I want to mention that we've got three winners from this last hour of that book that we were giving away, and the one we interviewed Josh Linkter for, Hacking Innovation. And congratulations to John Humphrey of Royal Oak, Brian Breisucker, I believe I've got that right, Brian, in St. Clair Shores, and our old friend Paul Sr., Paul Amici, down in Houston, Texas, Super Bowl City.
Yep. And, it's interesting. He continues to listen to us. I don't know why, but
what he also did is he has given us some program ideas. And I thought, you know, talking about hacking innovation, one of the principles is crowdsourcing.
Oh, yes.
And that is gathering suggestions from people like you for topics. And he came up with a humdinger, mesh networking. And so we're going to, and he gave us a link for that, and we're going to look into that as well. The number again, 800-859-0957. That's for your questions. We've given the books away right now, so congratulations to those folks who got the copy of the book. Always sending that in the mail.
I just got to have fun with Gary. I've been gone for a
couple
of weeks.
You've been gone for too long.
I've been gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right, yeah, I missed you.
Did you get a lot of Apple calls?
We got a couple.
Yeah, you just plug it in, it works.
That's not what they said, actually. And we couldn't answer them.
If they call back, I'll be more than glad to give it my best shot. Right.
Cal will have to tell you that, what was it, a couple weeks ago, a week or so ago, I called up and I just said, help, because I actually got nailed on my Mac. I don't know what I did or what I bumped into, but my browsers were all tied up.
Did that fix it?
No, that one didn't fix it. It wasn't the flashback. Okay. But Malwarebytes, Ed, took care of it. And I downloaded the version for Mac.
For the Mac, yeah.
For the Mac. And after running that, it kicked out a bunch of adware. Not adware. It was malware that was running in there.
Foster, did you click on something you weren't supposed to?
I must have. I don't know what it was. And that's the worst part about it. You don't know necessarily what it is that you're bumping into.
Yeah, because stuff can be buried anywhere. I had an associate who came to me and said, I've got this big thing on my screen that says, I have this problem. I need to call tech support. And I go like,
that's it.
Where were you? And they said, well, I was on Amazon trying to buy something.
Yeah.
They just dump it out there somewhere, just waiting for you to unsuspectingly
come
along.
You know, it may have been that, exactly. All of a sudden, my browsers were taken over by this Comcast thing. It says, you're going to call our tech center, and it had this big picture of it looked pretty legitimate, and I was darned if I was going to do that.
Yeah. So, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. And, my understanding is a lot of the stuff is propagated by ads that are actually thrown on there.
No, I have an ad blocker. Yeah. I have ad block on all of my browsers. So yeah.
I had a partner in GPS for Leaders, this mobile app startup that we're doing, and he had the same thing. Came from Xfinity, Comcast was tough, and I just said put Malwarebytes on. He goes, okay. He did that. Took care of it.
Boom! It took care of it. And the other thing I had was it was hijacking my browsers and telling me my McAfee subscription was
expired.
I don't have McAfee. Never have had McAfee.
That should be your first clue.
Yeah, well, that was exactly it. When that came up, boom. And then the other thing was it told me my flash was out of date, you know, which is I'm not going to even touch that. Okay, let's go to Rob from Brownstone Township. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. What can we do to help you?
Yeah, I just bought a computer with a standard hard drive, and I was thinking about switching out to a solid-state drive. Mm-hmm. If I load up the, like, say, Microsoft Office, on the existing hard drive, am I going to have to buy the software again if I switch to a standard solid state drive? Well, there's not enough room to put a hard drive and a solid state drive both in the same computer.
Well, it really depends on how you transfer everything over. What operating system are you running?
Windows
10. So okay. You're lucky that you could probably just clone or use the Microsoft Windows. System?
Is it a transfer tool?
No, basically you clone your existing hard drive.
Actually, some of the solid-state drives
come with the software
that will do that for you.
No, thank you. I wasn't aware of that. I because solid-states are usually were quite expensive, but they've been dropping substantially.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You can get 500 gigabyte for around $100 now.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
what Kasten is saying... go ahead.
How do you transfer it if it's outside of the existing, if the solid state drive's outside the computer, how do you to transfer everything in there?
Mm-hmm. Well, usually you transfer to an external, hard drive, like, USB attached hard drive.
Well, which could be the solid state drive, right?
Well,
Yeah.
So if you buy the solid state drive,
right.
As Kasten said, sometimes it'll come with software that you install on the operating system and then you connect the solid state up to it, it'll just clone it over through a USB cable.
Right.
If you use the Microsoft system image application, you'd have to create an image onto an external hard drive, install the new medium, and then use Microsoft's bootable media to restore the image to the new solid state.
Okay.
In both cases, you won't have to renew your licensing for Microsoft Office on either one of those.
That's the good news for you. You won't have to worry about that.
So when you purchase the solid state, inquire if it comes with that cloning software.
Be really, really handy. All right, coming back, and we'll be talking with Suzanne and Troy and you. Welcome back. It's the call-in version of the Internet Advisor. That's when you get to call in with your questions. And we're very fortunate to have this week the opportunity to not only bring you 2 hours of excellent guests and interviews, but also on top of that to open our phone lines at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957 for your questions. And let's go right back to the phone lines and say hello to Suzanne from Troy. Suzanne, how may we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a computer that my son uses mostly for gaming, and every once in a while I go on it, and there's something on it called Whiskey Services that pops up. Every time I open up a browser, it kind of attaches itself to it or opens up a second page. I tried to Google how to get rid of it, and I think I read that it's embedded in the registry, so I am trying to look for an application or something I can buy that can get rid of it. I don't know what it is.
Well, more than likely, it's an add-on that's been added to all the browsers, Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, Edge, Firefox, and it's either a Trojan or it's a search engine assistant. And the first product I would always recommend is Malwarebytes. It's free. You could download it from malwarebytes.org or .com now.
Right.
If you really like the product, you could purchase a yearly subscription, but you could download it for free. It's fully functional for free, but you have to install it and initiate the scan, and it'll usually identify and remove these add-ons or these infections that you have. And the drawback is it does not provide real-time protection for it. And if you want real-time protection, that's what you have to purchase for the $25 or $49, whatever it is a year now. And I'm not familiar with what Whiskey is, but I'm assuming it's a... if you have a young son, more than likely he does want to do gaming, and when he does, they usually look for cheats, and when you search for such and such a game cheat, those are the poisoned websites that install this type of stuff for you.
It'd be a good learning opportunity for your son.
Yes, exactly. He's actually sitting listening to this, and I want to make sure he knows that we downloaded this, and we cannot. I've tried so many ways to get rid of it. Yeah. Just 1 second. You said malware malware bytes. Is that B-I-T-E-S?
No, B-Y-T-E-S.
Right, and you can use another home computer. I mean, sometimes this the software will not even allow you to go to malwarebytes.org or norton.com or whatever. Because what they do is they that they actually intercept that because you're typing in the browser. Some of the more
sophisticated
ones will prevent you from actually downloading it. And so if that happens, you have to use your another home computer, download the software, and then install it, or, you know, bring it over on a USB drive and install it.
That's exactly, matter of fact, what I did with my Apple computer when I ran into that problem.
Well, that's a question. If you use an alternate browser, do they poison both browsers?
Yeah.
They try to.
Okay. Whatever. So, yeah, usually whatever browser's installed on the computer, it'll infect every one of them at the time.
Yeah, I had Safari and Chrome were both nailed.
Okay. So what negative impact is happening because of this?
I'm not sure. I'm scared to use it. I don't log into my mail accounts anymore because I don't know what it is.
But,
so I don't use my computer for anything anymore until I'm trying to get rid of it.
Yeah. So I'm wondering,
I don't know. I don't know what it does.
I'm wondering if it's not a plugin that he downloaded specifically as a plugin, that it's not malware at all.
No, I don't think so. I asked, and we tried to get rid of it. And what I read when I Googled is that it is. It's very difficult to get rid of. It is an add-on, but we didn't on purpose download it. And I know he goes to cheat sites all the time, which is what worries me to begin with.
I don't want Minecraft.
Yeah, and especially Minecraft. Yeah,
We heard the defense.
Yeah. So
first off, I'm here in the studio giving you a standing ovation. I mean, it is so wonderful that you're not doing email or other things on this computer when you don't know what's happening.
Right.
So, my hat's off to you for that. One thing you may be able to do is go. You know, you're a smart woman. The one thing you might want to do is in your browser, you can go to settings and find a setting called add-ons, and you may be able to disable it there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's another way to do it. You could also go into the Windows uninstaller and see if it shows up there, and you may be able to uninstall it there. You may have already tried that. And if
I actually tried both of those. The settings, it must be called something else in the add-on because I didn't see it there.
Yeah,
right.
And most likely
I think I only looked in Chrome, but the Windows uninstaller, I didn't see it there either. So
okay.
Yeah, that's very, very
good.
Which
is why I worried it's a malware. I don't know.
Yeah. You're probably right then. If it's
well,
not there.
And again, well, the suggestion that Ed had was if you can find another computer to get to, so even if it's a friend's computer, take a thumb drive and download the malware bytes install.
Only if you can't get it on that computer.
Exactly.
Right.
Pardon me.
I'll try it. I have a laptop, which I use for my
other
stuff.
Okay, there you go.
So I have that option. But, yeah, thank you for the hint, though.
Yep, and that's one way of getting rid of it. Okay?
Yep. And that's a good
thing.
And thank you very much for calling. And for parents that have children that have their own computers, it's very good. It's wise to always check them. Gary taught me this years and years ago, where you could just explain what you did with your kids.
I just watched them, if that's what you're talking
about. Basically. Yeah, basically. And then you said to him, hey, at any time, I'm giving you this computer, but at any time, I may tap you on the shoulder and say, give me the computer. I want to take a look. And then you do that, then, you know, the kids are like, well, I don't really want to do anything on this computer that is inappropriate. Because dad could tap me on the shoulder at any time.
Yeah, or you call him to dinner and then you check the computer.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, because kids are part of peer groups and peer pressure can be crazy on them.
Oh, yeah.
He could have been trying just to learn how to do something with a particular game.
Sure.
And not necessarily,
Minecraft in particular instance.
And not necessarily doing anything malicious or anything like that. And he just got bad advice from another kid that said, hey, Scooter, let's go try this. We can get this cheat from here or there. And ran across something bad as well.
Okay.
All right. Our number again, 1-800-859-0957. We'd love to hear from you. And hello to Jason from Westland.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good. How can we help you?
Well, I've got working off my computer. I had this problem for a little bit, but now it's just coming back with a fury. I'm losing my Wi-Fi signal. Whenever you pop up, you can find 10, 15 Wi-Fi signals in the area, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden it just vanishes, like I'm in airplane mode. I run my virus scan on it, wipe out whatever viruses or adware is on there, shut it down, restart it, and it comes back.
Now, you're talking about your own Wi-Fi?
Yes, my own, well, my own Wi-Fi on my computer. The signal, the receiver on my computer to receive the signal from my Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it just seems that for some reason, but after you reboot your computer, it seems like your signals and all those additional access points all seem to be viewable.
Yes, they come
after
back.
A reboot.
Then I can go back on it. Then there are times that will just disconnect. I've got to run a diagnostic. It takes care of the gateway or whatever, and then it gets me back on it. Then a little bit later, I'm gone.
Okay,
while you're using it, or is this
while I'm using it?
Okay, because I know that people have had trouble when it hibernates and then it doesn't come back. But this is you're using it, and all of a sudden it goes away.
Right. Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
But.
Well, yeah, you know, don't wear tinfoil. No, just kidding. So the disco era clothing is a no-no. So, no. So, but no, other than that, I think I have a good idea, but Kasten, you had an idea as well.
No, I was going to the sleep mode.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with that tinfoil hat issue. So the other thing is, how many Wi-Fi points do you have in your house? I mean,
how many
Wi-Fi devices do you have in your house? You probably have cell phones, gaming systems.
Oh, I've got two kids on their phones at all times playing games.
Yep. How long has it been since you've upgraded your home wireless router?
Not since I got it.
Yeah. One of the things I'm thinking, the newest routers right now usually increase the spectrum and what devices can connect to them much better. So if you get a 802.11... AC. Device or AC device, yep. you'll increase the performance of your home wireless network substantially and security.
And dual channel, right?
And dual channels.
There's some discussion among the experts here. So
yeah, stay on the line.
Hang on the line. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about this. Thank you for joining us for the program. By the way, you got roughly 25 minutes left to ask your questions. And we'd love to take that call, 800-859-0957. Let's go back to Jason in Westland. Jason, we were talking with you about the problem with the Wi-Fi. Oh, suddenly you were losing your connection to your Wi-Fi, right?
Right, all the Wi-Fi.
Correct. And then I recommended a router. But, you know, thinking about it, and I was corrected on this, other devices in the house would probably also experience the same thing. I was thinking that you were having some weird wireless noise that was affecting your signal, but it really could have been a driver issue, as they described. But then I remembered something that happened to Foster's wife, mm-hmm. Jenny, and there was a security update that Microsoft released in mid-December 2016, which caused this problem on numerous.
Yeah.
I mean,
Windows 10.
Windows 10 update.
Yep. It was causing the
wireless networks to drop on a whole bunch of people.
So suddenly I use a Mac. And so suddenly my wife be, this knocked me off. What did I do wrong? You know, and it was nothing she was doing wrong. Was suddenly it would disconnect and say, you're no longer connected to the internet. I said, what do you mean you're no longer connected to the internet? I'm connected to the internet. You got to be connected to the internet because we're on the same Comcast signal.
So you might want to try downloading Microsoft security update, and it's been updated to fix the problem. Your computer should have already received it, but just write this down, KB for knowledge base, KB320-1845. So 320-1845.
Okay, Jason, what we're going to do, by the way, I'm going to put this up on the website as well. Okay, so it's KB Knowledge Base 320-1845. Yep. And this is for anybody else who's taking notes right now.
Now, when I experience wireless issues on a laptop and especially a Windows device, I always go into Device Manager. And then in Device Manager, you can view all of your individual hardware components, your mouse, keyboard, monitor, LCD, battery. But you go underneath the networking component of it, and you'll see your wireless network adapter in the list of the network adapters for the laptop or desktop that you have. And when I'm experiencing weird problems like this, I'll highlight my Broadcom Wi-Fi adapter 17:45, and I'll just strike the delete key, and Windows says, are you sure you wish to delete this device? And I say, heck yes. I don't say heck, but yes, I wish to delete this. And then I reboot my computer and let Windows rediscover the network device. If it asks me if I want to delete the drivers, software drivers that are associated with this hardware device, I always answer no. And what this does is it allows Windows to reload the software for that hardware device as if it's fresh. And that usually takes care of weird, you know, wireless networking issues. This has fixed numerous hundreds of laptops that I've worked with in the past, is by removing the device, rebooting, and letting Windows rediscover and load the software.
Okay, Jason?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. And as I say, I will post that information number on our homepage. All right. Thank you very much for being with us. And the number again, 800-859-0957. Jerry, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
I've got a Dell laptop. It's about 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I turn it on, and all I get is a blank screen. It indicates that the battery is on, the connection to the electricity is on and all that, but it just blank screen.
Oh, that must be that universal screensaver they got running on there.
Oh, don't do that.
You know, what you might want to do, Jerry, you said when you turn it on the top of the laptop or on the edge of the laptop, you'll see a little light that shows that the computer's turned on. And generally near that light, there's also some other lights, and one of them looks like a little disk drive picture. Does that flash at all when you turn it on?
No.
Or do you see any flashing lights?
There are two little lights, one when it's plugged in and the other when it's turned on.
All right, here's another test. When you power it on, does the cap lock actually toggle? Usually cap locks have a light associated with them on Dell computers. So if you tap the laptop or the cap lock button.
The cap lock on the laptop.
Yeah. That'll usually say if it's live or not. Also, have you got an external monitor that you can connect to this laptop with a VGA or a D-port or a whatever?
No, I don't.
Well, then...
But it does have a port on the side for usually, or the back, somewhere,
yeah,
doesn't it?
I could get a display.
Yeah, you could just take it over to someone's house that has a display.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Charge it up fully, take it over to their house, plug it into the display, turn the display on, and then turn the laptop on and see if you get anything on the screen. If you get nothing, then that means there's still something wrong with it. Might still be something wrong with the laptop. If you get something on the screen, then it might be that the LCD panel in the laptop might be having some problems.
Or just the backlight. So yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you on laptops, you could... If you have good eyes still and a well-lit room, you'll actually see a ghost image of the Windows logo and the login screen, but there's just not enough light to actually view it.
Right. By the way, when you start up your computer, do you hear the whirling sound of your hard drive spinning up?
No.
Oh, really? Maybe it is a power problem then.
Mm.
Or a hard drive problem.
Or a hard drive problem, something.
Do you live near a computer store, like an independent store or anything like that?
Well, it's a ways away,
okay.
25 miles.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's a bit of a distance to drive.
How about a community college or high school, adult education anywhere near you?
No.
Okay. Because I was going to suggest you could always stop by there, and if they have like a computer class or anything like that, I'm sure there's someone there who could just take a quick peek at it and say, yeah, it looks like this or it looks like that.
Yeah,
but
no power.
If you try the monitor thing first and see how that works out.
Yeah, and also there's a fan on the back of these things or on the bottom so that when you hit the power button and you put it next to your ear, should be able to hear some whirling,
exactly.
And that's probably where Foster was going with that.
Yeah, because often you hear the buzz and the click of a hard drive whirling up. What we're doing, by the way, is kind of interesting. Kasten pointed this out before, Jerry. We're hacking the problem. In other words, we're trying to tease the elements of the problem apart and using different kinds of things to see if that really is the issue or not. And, for instance, listening for the hard drive spinning up or, you know, the different kind of things we're talking about, our ways of looking for it. So try the one thing, which was connecting it to an external monitor to see if it's an issue with the monitors. And the other thing then would be to, when you turn it on, see if you can hear anything happen. That's after you check that monitor. Yep. See if you hear anything spinning up.
And I thought of a third thing. And sometimes laptops, if they go into hibernation mode, sleep mode, then hibernation, and all laptops are susceptible to this. Sometimes they just get stuck and they will not wake up. So unplug the power. And if your laptop supports it, it's a Dell laptop, pull the battery out and then press and hold the power button on the laptop so that it can discharge the motherboard in there, and then put the battery back in. Plug it back in, and then press and hold the power button to try to power it up, or press it to power it up. If that fails, press and hold it for the 5 or 10 seconds to power it up. And don't do that to my computer, Cal. I have a Dell in front of me, and Cal's looking at the power button to see if he can do that.
Well, actually, I was thinking of another thing that I hadn't even thought about. And how about if he powers the computer up and then hold down the function key on the Dell, and on the top row, they have that little button where you can switch monitors back and forth. Maybe that might make the screen come up.
Function F8 or something like that? Yeah.
Try it.
Okay, absolutely. All sorts of different things you can try. But, Jerry, let us, by the way, when you get a chance, send us an email and let us know whether any of these things work for you, because we'd be interested in following up on some of our own advice, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jerry, for giving us a call. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. We love to talk to you. It's interesting, Kasten, you were talking about this being hacking. You know, we're trying to tease apart the program. The problem.
And that's really what hacking is just relentlessly pursuing a problem with curiosity. And going back to Josh Linkler's book, that's exactly what we're doing here. We're hacking problems.
Yeah, I like the idea of the relentlessly, because that's been a significant factor in the success the hackers have, is that patience of just teasing and teasing and teasing the issue apart.
Oh, that explains everything. When I was 16, that girl named Tina, I was hacking her. Because I was relentless, and I teased her a lot.
You know, the statute of limitations doesn't wear out on hacking people.
She was bigger than me, so.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Ed?
I was going to say I had a problem with a laptop years ago, and basically it was the backlight on these things. And I'm like, how can I fix this old laptop? Basically, I just removed the plastic on the back and the back of the panel. Basically, I made the, it was a transparent laptop, so when I held it up to the window, that was my backlight.
We hope that Jerry can find another solution to that. Here's a number, and it's going to be your last chance to give us a call, so please don't be bashful. The only dumb question, by the way, is the one you don't ask. 800-859-0957. First of all, I want to thank Mike Stetz. He's just been fantastic today as both our engineer and a producer, answering phone calls here in a longish kind of program, celebrating our 19th year on WJR. Very, very proud and thankful to WJR for allowing us to be on the program. Both giving you, we hope, interesting information in terms of the interviews that we have on the program, and then also giving you an opportunity, like right now, to answer your questions as you call us at 800-859-0957. Let's go to Alan, who's calling us from Madison Heights. Alan, how you doing?
Hi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Very good. What can we do for you?
I have a problem with Microsoft Excel where it keeps going into a no response or it freezes. I'll have several workbooks open. These workbooks have lots of formulas and all of that in it, but even it sometimes happens with just a simple workbook. And all of a sudden, it's almost like it tries to autosave, and then it freezes. Sometimes I have to hard reboot to get it, and then it will usually recover data to some point. But I lose a lot of data, too, when this happens.
And yeah.
This only started since I moved to Microsoft 16.
Well, let's start off with one thing first. You have Microsoft 16. In Excel, if you go up to the top where it says Excel and click on there and it says check for updates, have you applied the latest updates to that Excel?
Affirmative, I have.
Okay. Second of all, how much memory is on your computer?
12 megs of RAM.
12 meg or 12 gig?
I'm sorry, 12 gigs.
Okay,
sorry.
Very good. I was going to say 12 meg. We pretty much got that problem nailed down.
You got it.
All right. Are you a type of guy that does a lot of multitasking? Do you have multiple applications open at the same time?
Absolutely.
Okay. And what are the other applications that you have open when you're using Excel?
Boy, it could be several websites, Word once in a while, and other than that, Outlook.
Are you doing this on a laptop or a desktop?
A laptop.
How often do you reboot your laptop?
This will do it even if it's a recent refresh. And it just occasionally it does. It doesn't happen every time or every day. I can't even figure out, you know, exactly what causes it.
Now, the other possibility that I'm going to drop out there is it could be possible that the sheets themselves might have some sort of corruption in it. But Ed has discovered something, and I'm going to let him take this ball and run with it now.
Well, two things is that one of the things you said that it hangs is, do you have any mapped network drives on your computer? If this is a business computer, do you have any mapped drives to any network drives or SharePoints?
Yeah. Okay. Not to SharePoint necessarily, except through Outlook, but definitely map to a shared drive through a VPN.
Right. Sometimes that can really slow up the startup performance, especially if your last workbook's opened and you're experiencing a networking issue. So just think. I'm just trying to think about that. Try bring as an example if it's a local workbook you're working on, which I doubt it because you're using the Office 365. That you might want to try offline and see if the same problem manifests. Just as a troubleshooting technique, turn networking off, see it, and if the problem goes away, aha, it's related to networking. That's the first thought. The second thought is if you've gone into Excel and then trying to disable any unused macros or even Excel add-ins, one of the things you can do, we've run into bad add-ins in the Excel environment. So if you go into File Options and then go into Add-ins, at the bottom there, you can manage your Excel add-ins, but you can also manage your COM add-ins as well on the bottom. And when you do that, you could see that maybe you have a toolbar that's loaded. That, wait, where did this toolbar come from? Oh, that's right, I loaded Skype. And I have a Skype add-in possibly in Excel. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's what it is. You could temporarily disable those add-ins and then see if the performance increases. That way you might be able to find out if there's an add-in to Excel, either an Excel add-in or a COM add-in that might be causing this startup issue.
Now, okay, great.
The other third thing I wanted to ask is when you're starting up Excel, are you launching Excel and then doing File Open, or are you clicking on the actual item and double-clicking on it and expecting Excel to launch as it should?
Probably most often I will either go to my local desktop or to the share drive or whatever. And this happens at work, too, so I'm not connected through. But I'll go to the Windows Explorer and open it.
And we all do. And that's just a habit that we've developed over time. So what I'd recommend is launch Excel by itself as and then do File Open. And what you'll probably find out is Excel's launching just fine. It's when you try to access this network resource, local desktop resource, that the problem might manifest.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Any other ideas, Gary?
No, actually, I think that's it. I think it's where you're trying to access. And if you're accessing a shared drive, it may be that is the problem.
Yeah, because a lot of times antivirus software will say, hold on, wait a second, he's doing it again. He's accessing something over the network. We got to scan it. Hold on. Okay, I'm not done yet. Okay, now we're done. And then
great.
I've even had trouble, you know, when you take, I don't have trouble moving it to OneDrive, but I will have trouble sometimes when I put it into, say, Google Drive or into one of the other shared drives.
Okay, Alan.
I like the idea of add-ins because this happens even just local, not anything connected to the shared drive. But you gave me several ideas, so thank you very much.
Good. By the way, I understand you're visiting us from Tucson, Arizona.
I am.
Oh, Kasten had something about that as well.
A couple of other ideas is you can start Excel in safe mode, and that will remove all the add-ins.
Right.
And that might affect your programs, but it's a quick way to try to see if you get more stability. The other thing that you can do with most versions of Office is go into the program installer, where you go to install or deinstall, and on Office you can actually do a repair.
Oh, that's right.
And that repair function might fix any corruptions that are in any of the DLLs.
Now you've given away all our secrets.
Sorry about that.
There's no magic left. There's no magic, Harry Potter. Great,
great I was idea. Excited. I had extra cake.
No magic.
Great idea, Gaston.
All right, Alan. Hey, safe trip back to Tucson, Arizona. By the way, if you want to catch us, you can catch us on the internet at internetadvisor.net. We publish our podcasts every week as well. So thanks for stopping by.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. You. All right. 800-859-0957. We have time for at least for one more.
Quickly.
Hello to Jim from Westland. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Okay. I'm on a snowball microphone. I do a professional broadcast on. I'm not going to plug where I do it.
Oh, why not?
All the way across the country.
Oh, do you?
And yeah, I do. I've been in off and on in broadcasting through my life. Now, what I want to tell the listeners, because I realize they got a clock running, that I switched to not make a phone patch, but to make a patch with the phone on Skype, which means I can use my snowball mic, which you can hear, I think, has good quality.
Oh, very good, yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So you,
okay,
you,
now let me point
ahead.
Out to the listener that you don't have to try it for $30 like I did. You can take just $10 and find out how good it works. Now, here's one thing I found out. If you're calling an 800 number, it doesn't deduct any time from your account, such as calling WJR today. The counter is not going down.
With Skype you're talking about.
Right, exactly, mm-hmm. Because that way I can retain using the snowball mic and almost sound as good as you guys.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, you old pro, because we're talking about using Skype in the future on our program here because one of our members is about to take a journey south of the border. That is the Mason-Dixon line. Hey, thanks so much, Jim, for being with us and for that promotion. Thanks so much for all of you for being with us. 19 years we've had the privilege of being here at WJR, and we look forward to continuing. We are going to be hacking our program, that is, working hard to make it better in this next year, so that when we come to celebrate 20 years, it may be a very, very different kind of program. Hopefully, a whole lot better one. I'm Foster Brown. On behalf of Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Kasten Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. Connie, thank you for serenading us with your happy anniversaries. Mike Stets, thank you so much for all you do for us. Folks, have a great week.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.